Father, we're so grateful today as we come together, your family, God. Lord, lifting up your praises, God. We thank you, God, for all the good things that you've already done in this church service. And even last night at Girls Night Out, thank you for the multiple salvations, God. We thank you for the relationships that were built, for the new people that came, God, and for all the goodness that went forth, for laughter and joy and the word of God and the great expressions that came out of last night, God. And Lord, today, as we approach your word and look at this Christmas season, God, I pray that you would just birth your word in our hearts, God. Lord, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to have a good understanding. May we be good ground where the word is sown and may produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Truly today, Lord, we've not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, white, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord. We desperately want to get back on track with you. So help us, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts today. Give us your wisdom and direction, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, today, don't just bless us. We ask you bless all the churches here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet that are both preaching and hearing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We bless your church, God. Denominational, non-denominational, doesn't matter to us. We bless the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach. God, we bless the Catholic churches and Adventist and Messianic Jewish churches that met yesterday, God. Lord, we bless Citizens in Sandals, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, The Way, Elevate Life, C3, Patriot, God, all the great churches that are out there. There's too many to name by name, but God, you know them all by name. We ask that your blessing and your provision, your resource, your goodness, Lord, your word be alive and well in your church. Jesus, you said you'd build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So build up your church, God. Be with the persecuted church. Strengthen them, encourage them, deliver them. May they endure to the end of the glory of God. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. So Jesus' mighty name, we say these things. We're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen. Now today you're going to have to say extra loud amens because I know some of the volunteers and some of the ladies got wore out last night and so they did not come to church in person today. That's okay. We bless you if you're at home watching because you were wore out. Get back to church next week, all right, when you're well. So the rest of you guys got to make up for those that aren't here, okay? So we all say amen. There it is. There it is. Today I want to talk to you about a subject called the Christmas blessing. The Christmas blessing. Turn with me to Luke chapter number one. Right at the beginning of Luke's gospel, we find a blessing that goes forth. This is Christmas season when we remember that Jesus was born, that he came to the earth. Luke chapter number one, we're going to start in verse number 26, and we're going to read down through verse number 38, and we will pull out some truths as we go along. Luke chapter number one, starting in verse number 26. Let's read it together. It says this. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse number 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Look at this next word, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed. Say it again louder. Say blessed. Blessed are you among women. Now let's stop right there for a second because we're talking today about the Christmas blessing. And here the angel comes in and he speaks some amazing things over Mary's life. I mean, just think about him. He says that she's highly favored. He says that the Lord is with her. But then he speaks this word and he says, blessed. Blessed are you among women. That word blessed, if you literally translate it, could be two words. It could be translated good word. It could be translated a favorable word, something that is well said or well spoken. The angel speaks a good word to Mary. He speaks a blessing over her life. Now, we translate the word blessed here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center as the capacity to succeed. That when there is a blessing giving, with it comes the ability to give you a power that can be successful in your life. See, when God blesses, he grants favor and bestows ability with the word that he declares. So here, the angel is speaking to Mary, and he says, blessed are you among women. There's a capacity that's coming to you, Mary. There's a grace that's coming into your life that you're about ready to receive. Blessed are you among women. Let's read on in verse number 29. It says this, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I would think that this young teenage girl, most likely Mary was a teenager at this time, because they were betrothed at a very young age. And so here she is, and then this man just shows up and starts speaking all this stuff over her life, and this blessing comes to her. And I would imagine that it was probably troubling, like, who are you and what's going on? And whoa, wait a second, huh? Highly favored and blessed among women, am I? What is happening? And so probably her nonverbal communication was speaking really loudly, because the angel steps up in the next verse, verse number 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Now right there, hopefully you clued in on what was just said. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, Mary, you're not going to have another man involved in this. God's going to do this in you. And so this will be the Son of God, speaking that this is God in the flesh. This is pointing to Jesus' deity. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Right there, he starts declaring the prophetic utterances over Jesus' life. Things that you can find in 2 Samuel, things that you can find in the book of Isaiah, things you can find all throughout the scriptures, the Psalms and the prophets, all spoke of these things. And so here, Mary's mind is probably fluttering around all this stuff, and suddenly a question comes forth, and she says this in verse number 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Now, if you know anything about Luke chapter number 1, you will remember that early in the chapter, there was a man by the name of Zacharias, who was a priest. He was there in the temple doing his service, and while he was there, he was praying. And the same angel Gabriel shows up to him and he says, "Hey, the Lord's heard your prayer. You should be happy about this because you're about ready to receive a son in your old age." And Zacharias, having that same trouble of an angel just showing up in the middle of the temple, hears this word and he asks the same question, essentially, "Hey, how's this going to happen?" But the problem is that Zacharias had something that Mary didn't have. Zacharias had a precedent in Scripture, because God had already done what he was about ready to do with Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, in that he had brought forth children from people who were past the age of childbearing. Think about it. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. You've got Abraham and Sarah. There's one witness right there. They had a baby when they were past the age of childbearing. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. That ship had sailed. And yet here they are bringing forth a baby named Isaac. How about Manoah and his wife? Samson's parents, they were old, they were well advanced in years, they didn't have a baby, and yet an angel shows up and proclaims to them, "You're about ready to have a child. He'll be a Nazarite. He shouldn't drink any wine, he should never cut his hair, and he's going to be a great man of God. He will judge Israel." And so here they are, an older couple having a baby out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Right there is two witnesses. Zacharias should have been able to say, "Hey, that's a great word. Well, let's see. God did it for Abraham. He did it for Manoah. He can do it for me." And yet he questions the angel. And so the angel says, "You're going to be quiet from now on, because I don't want your mouth getting in the way of the miracle that God's about ready to produce. And so just shutteth thou upeth," right? And so he seals his lips for a while, and it isn't until they ask him, "What is the name of the child?" And he writes his name as John on a tablet, and when he shows it to everybody, his mouth is loosed, and he's able to speak and prophesy and proclaim the praises of God once again. But here Mary, I don't think Mary's questioning the message. I don't think she's doubting the miracle. I think she's really just wondering about the mechanics of it all, okay? Because God had done some things before. God had made a man out of the earth. He had made a woman out of the man. He'd made men and women out of men and women, but he had never made a man out of a woman. And so she's saying, "How can this be? Because I don't know a man." That's the natural process in order that you put on the earth. But now what are you doing here? And so the angel, he's so great, he answers her question in verse number 35. Take a look at it with me. It says this, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you.'" I almost get the picture of Genesis chapter number 1, where the Holy Spirit is brooding over the waters of the earth, getting ready to create, waiting on the word of the Lord, getting ready to do something new, do the miraculous. Here, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her and hover over her. And when God speaks, guess what? That's going to break forth in her womb, and she's going to conceive and bear a son. It says that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Once again, he doubles down on the fact that this is God in the flesh, deity wrapped in humanity. Verse 36, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called there. In verse 37, can we read this together? Let's put it up on the overheads. Read this with me on the count of three. One, two, three. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I want you to just let that marinate in your spirit right now. Just let that soak in, get all the goodness, all the juices, the 11 herbs and spices that are mixed in there. Come on, just let it sink deep down into the deepest. You know, this is the deepest part of man right here. Come on, somebody. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. Now, Mary's been called the mother of God because she carried the Christ child, the Messiah. Now, not in a weird way, she didn't birth God, she's not greater than God, any of that kind of stuff, but Mary is a mother. And Mary is a woman of faith, and we can learn from her example. Look at what she says in this next verse. After she hears this amazing statement from the angel, nothing will be impossible with God. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Here I am, like Isaiah said, send me, right? Let it be to me according to what? Your word. And the angel departed from her. I love how she just simply believes and receives the promise of God in that moment. Maybe it was that moment, bang, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she received the Christ child into her womb. I don't know. God knows. But when I look at this story, it sparks something in me. It excites me. It raises me up. Because Christmas reminds us that all things are possible. You know, something happens to me at the end of the year. I don't know if it's just my age. I'm getting older and time seems to be going faster. And about December 1, something happens to me. And I find myself thinking like I'm talking like an old man right now because I always say the same thing right about December 1. I say, where did the year go? It's already over. Weren't we just having Vision Weekend? Weren't we just doing a fast for the beginning of the year? Like, where did 2024 go? But if you rewind back into 2023 in December, I'm like, hey, where did the year go? It's going so fast. The older I get, the faster it goes. And I'm like, my goodness, that's what like I heard old people saying when I was young, and now I'm that old people. But can I tell you something? The year is not over yet. We still have the rest of this month. It's almost like it's fourth and goal. We're 10 yards from the end, and it's like, hey, we can just give up right now. No, God wants to move that. God wants to push that through. God wants to do something in your life. God is not finished yet. God is just getting started. This year is not done. Christmas reminds us that with God, nothing will be impossible. Miracles can take place. Things can break out. My goodness, the story shows us this. Think about it for a second. Anything can happen, God willing. God's message can come through an angel or a dream. Prophecies can be fulfilled. Old couples can receive their lifelong desires, and young people can be used for eternal purposes. Christmas shows us this through the narrative and through the story. Amazing things take place at Christmas. So when we come to the end of the year, it's not over. No, God is showing us something, that anything can happen during the season. He's not done just yet. And this should cause us to be expectant. Let me say it to you like this. We need to expect God to do the impossible. This December, this Christmas, as you're headed into the end of the year, don't give up just yet. Don't quit just yet. Don't let up just yet. My goodness, God is still moving. He's still working. There's still more to be done. And we need to not drop our expectations. No, you need to raise up your expectations. Expect God to do the impossible. Why? Because if he can birth his son through a virgin, what can God do in your life? Nothing will be impossible with God. We should be looking for supernatural things during the Christmas season. We should be looking for them, expectant. You know, my children, I've got three children. I love them so much. They're amazing. They're wonderful. They've taught me so much about God. I tell you, I learned the heart of the Father by becoming a father. I learned what it's like to be a child of God through my children. I watched them. And in Christmas time, they taught me something about faith, because my kids can believe big at Christmas time. My daughter's 19-year-old in the second year of college, and she submitted a list to my wife of things she wanted for Christmas. So I'm like, girl, you're out. Where are you even going to put all this stuff? You're in a dorm room. And she's like, I still got a room at your house. Her faith is big. She understands mom and dad are generous, and mom and dad have the ability to do something for me, and so she still submits it. man, my kids growing up, they would submit their list. One of my kids, he's just a big dreamer. He wouldn't submit a list. He'd give us one thing that would break the bank. You know what I'm saying? It was like, dude, a Ferrari? Really? I don't even have one of those. He's like, please, Dad, please, you know? And yet, most of the time, they would get what they wanted because we were just like, well, shoot, if he asked, he believes, man. Let's bless him for it, you know? And our kids knew something else. They knew that if mom and dad didn't have the ability or the will to do it, that there was a higher power that they could go to. Not God, grandma and grandpa, right? They knew Nana and Bubba, right? They knew who to go to, which set of grandparents for the things that they wanted. If they wanted like the experience, I want grandpa to teach me how to paint. I want him to spend 6 hours with me, right? Grandpa would do it. And they knew that, you know, Daddy Warbucks over there, that if they had something expensive, they go to Pastor Jim, you know, because Pastor Jim, he loved doing that stuff. And so they taught me about Christmas time. What? They had expectations at Christmas. Now, of course, we bred that and built that into them, and we blessed them with those things, and we were delighted to do that. And even though I had like my little guilt mentality of, oh, I never had that stuff growing up, I had to get over that. But my kids taught me to raise my expectations at Christmas time because we have a God who delights to do the impossible. He's not looking down on you because you asked. He's not scorning your list. Come on, we feel so guilty. God, could you please heal me? God, could you please provide? And God is saying, just bring it to me. You're not going to break the bank of heaven. I am the higher power. Quit asking your mom. Quit asking your boss. Quit asking your neighbor. Quit asking Google. My goodness, ask me. God wants to do it. He delights to do the impossible. Turn me to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. An amazing story right here. You know, we mentioned Abraham and Sarah. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. At this time, Abraham is around 99 years old. For 24 years, he's been talking and walking with God. God has been giving him promises all along that, Abraham, you're going to have a child. You're going to have an heir. You're going to have descendants. Abraham, you're going to have so many descendants. They're going to be like the stars in the sky. Now, this was before airplanes and cars and locomotives and all the air pollution that we have. I can imagine when he looked up into the sky, it was absolutely amazing. Anybody ever got into a dark sky spot and looked up and saw the Milky Way and all of the galaxies and all the things and your eyes just lit up in that moment because you couldn't count the number of stars that were up there? It's an amazing thing. And so here, Abraham has had these promises all along, and along the way, he's tried to make the will of God happen on his own, and God has rejected that and gave him his promise and rehearsed it with Sarah and said, no, through Sarah shall your seed be called. And God's going to do something. He's going to do something supernatural. And so Abraham is hanging out, and in the heat of the day, God shows up in a physical form. It's a Christophany, if you will. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. He comes, and Abraham makes a covenant meal, and they start to talk, and Sarah's on the inside. She's just on the other side of the tent door, listening in as every good wife should. Come on, somebody. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. And so it says this in Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read verse number 10 down through verse number 14. God is speaking to Abraham, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Notice he repeats the promise, but now all of a sudden he's speaking a blessing over Abraham's life. It's finally here, Abraham. This is the time. This is the moment. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back in about a year, according to the time of life, 9 months. And guess what? You're going to have a baby. Finally, the word of God has gone forth. And it says this. It says, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. 90 years old is not when you have babies. Verse 12, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? I would imagine that stuff didn't happen as much anymore as they got older. Hello? So she's laughing, saying, is this really going to happen? Because, you know, it hadn't been happening that much. And, I mean, he's a spry old man. He's doing good, but are we doing that good? Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Hold on. I think that question is worth repeating, isn't it? Why did Sarah laugh? Am I not God? Have I not carried you through all of the things that you've gone through these past 24 years? Haven't I led you out of your homeland into this land and provided for you every step of the way? Haven't I blessed you? When you went to get Lot against all the different kings, didn't you have a victory and receive back your nephew and all of the property and everything that I blessed you with? Didn't I take care of you when you went to Egypt and when you were in Abimelech's presence and you told Sarah to tell everybody that he was your brother and you're a sister and they took you into their harem and they never touched you. They never did anything to you, Sarah. Am I not the God who has taken care of you all this time? Am I not the God who has blessed you and multiplied you and done everything on your behalf and taken care of you all this way? Why did Sarah laugh? Her expectations should have been different based on who I am. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?" Verse 14, look at this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you that question today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, that was a very sheepish. No. Let's try that again, because you got to make up for the people that aren't here this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, it's not. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing's too hard for God. You can count on him. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You can read on in the scripture and find out that Sarah had a son, and they named him Isaac. God showed up, and he blessed them with the promise. There was a blessing that came with that baby. My goodness, her expectations should have been higher. I love the story. There's a story of a pro golfer that was doing very well, touring and winning different championships. And he had a message come to him from a Middle Eastern sheikh, and he was inviting him to come over to the Middle East and play golf. And so he accepted the invitation and went over there, and he had his own golf course. And so they went out and played. And on the golf course, they struck up a relationship. And the sheik asked him, he said, "Would you please help me if you see something in my game that I can improve on?" And so throughout the game, you know, when they would tee off and that sort of thing, he said, "Hey, you know what, if you throw your club face out where you want it to go, that ball will hit straighter, you know, like follow all the way through, you know." And he's showing him that sort of thing and starts teaching him about chipping. And then when he's putting, he said, "Hey, push through the ball, you know, make keep your eye on the cup and all that." Just showing him little things. Hold your hands this way, and man, you're dropping your shoulder. You're going to get a slice because you're opening up your club face, all that kind of stuff. So the whole time, the sheik is just learning, and his game is improving, and they're having a great time, and they're building this relationship. And by the time 18 holes is done, the sheik is just so grateful. And he says, "Thank you so much for helping me out with my game. Thank you for the friendship. I really appreciate you accepting my invitation. I didn't know if you would come, but I'm so, so happy that you came. I'd like to bless you with a gift. Is there anything that you want?" And the guy said, "No, I've got enough. I've won championships. I'm good. I'm taken care of. It's fine. I don't need anything from you. This was fun to play golf." He said, "No, I really want to bless you. I really want to give you something. What can I give you? Is there anything that you collect?" And he thought for a second. He goes, "You know what? I do collect old golf clubs. And so if you can give me one of those, that'd be great. I would love that." And the sheik says, "It's done." And so they said goodbye, and the golf pro went home. And about a month went by, and he got a letter in the mail. Opened it up, and it's from the sheik. He was so excited to read and see what it said. And so he read through it and said, "You know, hey, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming and playing the game. I hope that our friendship continues. And like you asked for the gift, here's an old golf club." And he's going, "There's no box. It's just a letter." And he realized there was a second sheet of paper. And so he looked at the second sheet of paper, and it said title deed. And it was a golf course locally that had been around for a long time. He gave him an old golf club. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here we are asking, "God, can I just have a little resource? God, can I just have a little blessing? God, can I just have a little breakthrough?" And God is saying, "I've got an army. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I've got every resource. I've got all power, all authority, all strength, all grace, all goodness, everything you need to succeed. And you're asking for a little dose, a little dabble. No, ask for the kingdom. Ask bigger. Raise your expectation, because with God, nothing is too hard. Nothing's impossible with God. So we have to raise our expectations. And when we do, and when we see these things taking place, it should cause gratitude and thanksgiving to come out of us. We need to thank God in advance for the impossible. Put it out in front. You say, "Pastor, that's kind of weird. You know, I usually don't thank people for something until after it's happened." Yeah, that's in the world, but in the kingdom, it's different. We switch it up. See, I don't think it's an accident that we celebrate Thanksgiving before we celebrate Christmas. Notice the order in the year. We're finishing our year with two great holidays. We're crowning the year, and there's such a blessing. I love both of these holidays. And yet, it's no accident that Thanksgiving comes first before the miraculous moment of Christmas comes around. Here's the reason why, because in the Bible, God puts this order, doesn't he? There's some very famous scriptures that we often quote. I want to take you there to Psalms 100. Turn there with me. You probably quoted this or heard this quoted, and you may or may not have known where it was at, but today I want to show it to you in your Bible. Turn with me to Psalms 100, okay? The 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, and the whole psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a short psalm, so you can read through it on your own time. It is a great psalm to read through. But I want to just point out the verse that we often quote, Psalms 100 and verse number 4. Psalms 100, verse number 4, it says this. It says, enter. Hold up. The entrance is the start, isn't it? Think about it. When you came on the campus today, you came to the entrance. You passed through gates. That was before you ever got into the church building. Before you got to the door, before you got to the greeter, before you got to your seat, before you got to the praise and worship, before you got to the word, you entered somewhere, right? There was a gate. There was a threshold that you crossed. And so he says, I want you to enter into his gates with something. Well, what are we to enter his gates with? Come on, help me out. What are we to enter his gates with? Thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Notice once again, be thankful to him and bless his name. He says, put it right down in front. Before anything else, before you start to sing, before you get into the word, before you give, before anything else, before you relate with the other family of God, I want you to do something. When you come on campus, when you come into the presence, before you get to the altar, before you get to the door, before you get to the altar of incense, before you get to the table of showbread or the lampstand, before you go into the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God is, I want you to enter in with thanksgiving and come to his courts with praise. Put it out in front, right out there in front. That's probably why you've heard people praying and they're like, God, we thank you for moving in this situation. Wait a second, hold on, God hadn't moved yet, and yet they're thanking God for it. Here's why. Because God says that's the proper order. Why? Because God is outside of time. In God's heart and in God's mind and in reality, in the spirit, it's already done. That's why when the Bible says by his stripes you were healed, if I were healed, then I am healed, then I can thank God even if I don't see it manifesting in my physical body just yet. And so I'm going to thank God for it until I see it, because it's going to happen. With God, it's as good as done. Remember on my 20th anniversary, my wife and I, we went up to Santa Barbara. We love Santa Barbara. We're having a great time. My wife marked off her bucket list. That time, I surprised her. We rode horses on the beach. It was so fun. Went by Kevin Costner's house. He wasn't there. But we had a great time. I remember one of the days that we were up there, we were just going to different beaches, taking a look around, finding new stuff. We love doing that. And so we went to a beach called Thousand Steps Beach that's up there. Now, that's not to be confused with the one that's in Laguna Beach. Okay? Now, the one in Laguna Beach has 238 steps. I know because I counted them all. Okay? So not 1,000. And this one didn't have 1,000 either, probably about 90 steps, something like that. But we were walking on Thousand Steps Beach, having a good time. As we're walking, we're trying to avoid the tar, you know what I'm saying? Because Santa Barbara, they got the oil rigs, all that kind of stuff. There's tar on the beaches, and so you either got to have a jar of peanut butter or some baby oil or something if you get on the tar. And so we're walking around avoiding the tar, having a good time. And while I'm walking on the beach avoiding the tar, I accidentally step on a bee. I hate stepping on bees. I don't like bee stings. Thankfully, I don't go into anaphylactic shock or anything like that. I don't have to stab myself with the EpiPen or, you know, I'm good that way. But it hurts. And for some reason, this one just stung like the Dickens. I don't know what it was, but it was like worse than the normal bee sting. Like, I remember being a little kid and I got stung by two bees at the same time. I don't know what they were doing on that flower that I stepped on, but they both got me, bam, right? And that one hurt really bad, but it did not hurt as bad as this bee did. I don't know if the Santa Barbara bees are just stronger or maybe they've been weightlifting or something, but it just really hurt. And so I'm like, oh, I just got stung by a bee. My wife just shoves me over and turns into the nurse, you know, and starts picking stuff out of my foot. And let me make sure I got it all. She's squeezing it. I'm like, ow, that hurts even worse. Knock it off. And so finally she gets it to the point. She's like, I think I got it all, and it's okay. And so I'm washing in the water, all that kind of stuff. Put my flip-flops on, and I start limping back towards the 90 steps at Thousand Steps Beach. And you know, I'm thinking, man, the rest of the day is ruined. I just, ugh, this stinks, you know. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to pray. So I said, God, I thank you for healing my foot. And as I'm walking, I'm thank you, Jesus, for my healing. I thank you, God, that by your stripes I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. God, I thank you for healing my foot of this bee sting. Thank you that the pain is leaving me. Did you know that by the time I got back to the parking lot, the pain was gone? Now, you guys are a whole lot more excited than the first service was about me getting healed of a bee sting. They were kind of like, yeah, that's great, Pastor. So glad that you got healed of a bee sting, baby. You know, they were just pretty mean that way. But the amazing thing to me was when I got up to the parking lot, I got a text message on my phone. And I checked it. It was Pastor Joel right over here on the front row. At the time, Pastor Joel was in the hospital. We'd been praying for his healing. He had a blood disease called MDS. Is that right? MDS. Okay? It's like leukemia, if you will. Not as well known. But he had this blood disease, and he was in the hospital. He had to take chemotherapy, and so he had sent us the prayer request, hey, please pray for me. I'm taking chemotherapy. It's going to break down my immune system. I'm just believing God for no side effects. And so we were praying for that. The other thing we were praying for was that he would have a donor that would be able to give him enough stem cells to be able to do that, you know, that whole thing in his body and repair and let the cells go and do their thing and to repair and replenish his body and start fresh, start new. He had to have a transplant. And so we were believing God for that during this time. But you know what we were doing? We were thanking God for Pastor Joel's healing. God, we thank you, Lord, that this chemical that he's taken, this chemotherapy, it's not going to harm him in any way. God, we pray, Lord, that there are no side effects. God, thank you in advance that he'll be just fine. As we're praying for this donor, God, we pray that this donor would have plenty of stem cells, God, that he'll have as much as he needs, and that he'll be able to get this transplant. Everything will go well. His body will be healed. God, we thank you for Pastor Joel's healing in Jesus' name. When I got to the top of the steps, I get a text message from Pastor Joel. I open it up, and it says, Pastor Dan, thank you for praying for me. I have no side effects from chemotherapy, and I've got double the amount of stem cells that are needed. And we're grateful that Pastor Joel is here on the front row today to confirm the story out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Shall every matter be established? Church, what are you thanking God for? Not what do you believe in God for, what are you thanking God for? A lot of times people say, I'm believing God for provision, but they're not thanking him for provision. A lot of times people say, I'm believing God for healing, but they're not thanking God for healing. See, faith sees it as already received. If you have the word of God and you're believing the word of God, when you receive it, what do you say? You say, thank you. Even though I may not have it physically in my hands just yet, I'm going to thank God in advance of that. Why? Because it's as good as done. If the word of God says it, God, I thank you that I have it. I thank you that I have the provision. I thank you that I have the healing. I thank you that I got the strength. I thank you that I got the wisdom. I thank you that I got the resource. God, I thank you, Lord. Reconciliation's coming to my family. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're moving on my behalf. God, I thank you there's a witness. My neighbors are going to get saved. My family members are going to get saved. God, I thank you for blessing me and blessing your church and moving forward with this gospel. God, I thank you. See, the fact that anything can happen should cause us to be full of faith. Let me say it to you like this. This Christmas season, believe God for the impossible. Believe God for the impossible. Raise your expectations and start thanking God, but put your faith in action. Believe God for the impossible. See, when the angel declared to Mary that all things are possible with God, it made faith rise up in her. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She declared her faith when she stated, "Let it be to me according to your word." She believed and she received the promise of God's word, and then she did the impossible by the power of God. What? She carried God's word in her womb, and she delivered it into this earth. Jesus is the word of God. He is the word made flesh. She carried that word, and she birthed it into the world. She did the impossible. And church, we too can carry the word of God. We can bring the word of God into our world. We have to hear the word of the Lord, believe it, and receive it. We need to believe God for the impossible. Jeremiah, turn there with me to Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter number 32. During this time, it's not a good time in Israel's history. Jeremiah has been prophesying that there's an exile coming and that the people should be submitted to the word of the Lord. It's an ungodly king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's coming, and no one has been able to stand before him. He's wiped out nations in front of them, and he's getting ready to come to Jerusalem. And Jeremiah says, hey, you should go out and make peace treaty with them and let them deport you. And they're going, no way. No way, God's going to come through. God's going to do something. He says, no, God's telling you. He's taking you away because of your sin, so you need to listen. They put him in jail for it. Lock him up. While he's there in jail, God says to him, hey, your cousin's going to show up, and he's going to offer to sell you some land. I want you to buy it. Now, think about it for a second. If Jerusalem is about ready to be devastated, what's going to happen? All of the business people are going to think, this is a bad investment. I need to liquidate, take my losses, and run. Go invest somewhere else. We see that. In the midst of this, God says, hey, I want you to do something counterintuitive. This doesn't make business sense in the natural, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to show something through this process. I want you to buy the land. I want you to sign the deed in front of witnesses. I want you to pay them the money. I want you to seal that up in a clay jar so that in the future people can see that you bought land and they can see what I'm doing. Jeremiah 32, verse 15. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. At the moment, that looked impossible. At the moment, the way everything was going, Jerusalem was about ready to be leveled to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. He's going to kill everyone. He's going to destroy the temple. He's going to take away the gold and the bronze and the silver. He's going to take our best people and he's going to put them in his palaces and he's going to use them as eunuchs and he's going to make them leaders in his administration. He's going to kill the common people. He's going to leave the poorest of the land to serve around this area. Why would we buy a house? Why would we plant a field? Why would we buy and sell? But God says, do it, Jeremiah, because I'm going to do something that seems impossible right now. Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Verse 16, now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord saying, verse 17, ah, Lord God, I love that beginning of the prayer. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. I love the fact that Jeremiah leans on the greatness of God in this moment. He sees something that God is saying that seems impossible in the hour that they're living in, and yet he says, God, you created the heavens and the earth. God, you spoke a word and planets existed. You spoke and all of the life that we know on this planet came to be. Look at his last statement. There is nothing too hard for you. Even though I may see an impossible situation in front of me, God, if you can take care of this planet, God, if you can speak all of the ecosystems and biosystems and everything into this world, even the solar systems, God, then guess what? Nothing's too hard from you. It's as good as done. God, I believe it. I believe it. There's a story of a family, a mom and dad and a little girl. The little girl was having trouble sleeping at night. Every night she'd wake up screaming. The mom and dad would rush to her room and lay in her bed till she went back to sleep, and eventually they'd be back. And so finally they told her, they said, listen, if you're having a bad dream, just come to our bed. So every night, middle of the night, she'd wake up screaming and run to their bed. Night after night after night after night. On the process of time, they just got used to doing this. And so came throughout time that the mom had to take a trip. She asked her husband, are you going to be okay with our daughter? He said, yeah, it's fine. You won't be there in bed. She can just take your side. It'll be all right. So mom said, okay, it's fine. Went on her trip, went away, and so the dad's there with the little girl, and he thought, you know, this is crazy. We got to make a change. Something's got to happen here. She's got to get back into her own room. She can't be sleeping with mom and dad forever. And so he talked to his little girl, and he said, listen, honey, tonight we're going to do something different. Okay, I know mom's not here. That's okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to sleep in your bed. I'll come when I'm ready to go to bed, and I'll sleep in the top bunk. Okay, daddy will be there. You don't have to worry. If you wake up, I'm right above you, okay? She said, okay, daddy. That night comes, sends her to brush her teeth, get jammies on. She goes to bed, sound asleep. Dad's up making lunches for the next day, preparing everything for the morning. And so he goes and gets changed, brushes his teeth, and then he comes in and carefully, he notices that his daughter's asleep, so he quietly climbs up to the top bunk and uncomfortably gets into that little twin bed and falls asleep, has a terrible night's sleep. But the neat thing is, in the morning he wakes up and his daughter is still sound asleep. And so he quietly creeps down out of the bed before she's awake, goes and starts taking care of things around the house, takes a shower, gets dressed, and comes in and he wakes her up. Honey, it's time to get up and go to school. Wake up, darling. She wakes up. She says, good morning, daddy. He says, good morning. He says, where are you? She says, I'm in my bed. He said, did you know you slept through the night? She says, yeah, I did. He said, well, how did you know? She says, well, I didn't wake up. I was here all night and I woke up in my bed. He said, that's great. She says, well, I knew I wasn't going to have any bad dreams. He said, why did you know that? She says, because I knew you'd be in the bunk above me. And he said, well, wait a second, hold on, because I came in after you fell asleep and I got up before you woke up, how did you know I was in the bed above you? She says, because you told me you would be. Listen, church, you've got promises from God. God has spoken to you about your life. He told you the blessings and the things that he is not only able but willing to do for your life. And if God said it, we ought to just simply believe it and receive it in faith. If God says you're blessed, believe it. If God says you're highly favored, believe it. If God says you're healed, believe it. If God says you're prosperous, believe it. If God says you're strong, believe it. If God says they're coming home, believe it. If God says it'll be reconciled, believe it. If God says you're forgiven, believe it. If God says anything, believe it. Expect God to do the impossible. Thank God in advance for the impossible and believe God for the impossible. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes in this moment? I know oftentimes we say, what is God speaking to you? But today I want to just take a different approach to this time. What is the impossible thing today that you're believing God for? What are the things that you're looking at that seem insurmountable? What are those obstacles in your way? What are those things that seem unattainable? Will you just get those things in your imagination right now? And just as a witness to your faith, would you just lift both hands to the Lord if you're able to? And what you're doing is you're symbolically saying, God, this is something that I'm believing you for that's impossible. I'm believing you for the impossible in this area. And I want to just speak a blessing over you as we prepare to enter into this Christmas season. You're going to get double blessed today. I'm going to bless you now, and at the end of the church service, I'll speak another blessing. But right now, would you just receive this blessing with your hands outstretched to the Lord, even online? Come on, receive this blessing. May you be blessed. May you be grateful. May you live the grace that you have. May God do the impossible in and through you, in Jesus' name. Come on, thank him right now. Would you just thank him for it? Thank him in advance. Come on, thank him. Come on, thank you, God, I'm healed. Thank you, God, my family's healed. Thank you, God, my family's saved. Thank you, God, for a witness. Thank you, God, for, don't give up now. Come on, thank him for it. Thank him like you mean it. Come on, put the thanksgiving out front. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. God, I thank you. God, I thank you, you got the wisdom. God, I thank you that I have the provision. God, I thank you, Lord, you're putting together strategic relationships. God, I thank you for breakthroughs. God, I thank you, Lord, I'm not going to break down, God. You're going to break down the walls that have separated me from the promise. God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, did you get something from the word of the Lord today? Amen. Amen, amen. Pastor Antonio, would you come and lead us into the next portion of this church service today?
Amen, Pastor Dan. Thank you. What a word. Come on. Aren't we thankful? I love that. It precedes our praise. I don't know about you, but I just love that we get to find out from the Word of God that we have something to stand on. There are promises from the Word of God that we can stand on and have faith on, that our faith is not like standing on loose gravel. It is a firm foundation. Amen. Hey, would we do this? Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to make some more stakes on promises as we make a declaration of faith when it comes to the area of our finances. Because what we're going to do right now is we are going to prepare our hearts to receive the tithes and offerings with the honoring of the Lord. Come on, are we grateful about that? Maybe you wonder why we cheer, why we clap, because we do what the Word of God says. We are cheerful givers, and we know that we are not giving from begrudging hearts. We are not giving out of obligation or out of religion or some kind of like, I got to give to get. We are giving because the Lord first gave. And when you're going to notice here that we're going to make some declarations and build our faith around something because the Word of God said that these are promises that we can, come on, take to the bank. Amen. So join me in this declaration. Ready? One, two, three. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increased, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take a seat today. The ways that you can participate in giving and generosity are on the screen right behind me. Maybe you're in need of an envelope because you want to give by cash or check. Go ahead and raise your hand. Our ushers would love to serve you at this time. I know for many of you who are business owners and leaders, you're looking for some tax deductions. Go ahead. We're putting in our application. We are a 501c3. You can go ahead and do that. It's a great benefit that our nation has as a tax deduction. But again, we are doing some amazing things. You guys see it all around you. It's not just something like, oh, no. God is on the move in this house. Amen. And we are so grateful. And those promises, I love the illustration of that child in the bunk bed, because God said, man, I will supply all your needs according to riches and glory. So I don't have to hold back from my giving. I don't have to hold on tight. In fact, God's going to take care of my needs. He is the true supplier. So oftentimes we are taking a step of faith and showing God, while this money in my bank account that I feel like I work so hard for, you know, it's not mine. I trust that you're going to take care of my needs. And can we be honest in church today? Can I get some witnesses that God does a whole lot better job of taking care of us than we ever could? Amen. Let's pray over our tithes and offerings at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Jesus, again, for your promises, Lord God, that say you will meet all our needs. Again, that say that you are our provider, Jesus. And we give from cheerful hearts, not from lack, not from abundance, not from out of obligation, Jesus, but we are giving in faith and generosity and knowing that you are a good God. So we thank you, Jesus, Lord God, for all that you are doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Ushers, at this time, you can go ahead and receive the honoring of the Lord. I just have a few announcements for you all. Hey, is everybody having a good time so far in this Christmas season? Last night was the official kickoff, but we have our December night lights. So all of our evening services from here on out through the end of the year, this is going to be the special light show. We'll also have coffee and hot chocolate. I don't know, is coffee maybe not, you know, coffee and hot chocolate available after all our services. Come hang out. The team works so hard to put on a great light show. Bring somebody, come to service, and then afterwards, hang out and check out the light show. And so we want to invite you guys out. Those are always special times. And then we have a special guest speaker. Actually, Dr. Barron is here this morning. He's going to be with us on Wednesday the 11th at 7 p.m. So this Wednesday, come and see. Man, we always get a great word from Dr. Barron. We're so blessed to have you with us today. And he'll be here Wednesday at 7 p.m. So be sure to get here. And then TRBC, The Rock Bible College, the registration is open. You heard that whoop whoop from Pastor Teresa and the alumni. I am an alumni now. I am an instructor. So we'd love to have you register, get some more information. There's a tent afterwards right in the foyer. And then our Rock Winter Intensive. Get registered for that. Get some more information. Zoom in on that QR code. Pastor Deborah is going to be facilitating and teaching that. So get all the information you can on that. And it's an amazing time to be in God's house. Go ahead and pay attention to the screens for some videos. And Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, Rock Church family, it is the most wonderful time of year because it is Christmas time and we want to celebrate this season with you.
Christmas weekend services will be taking place on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m., Sunday, December 22nd at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m. in Spanish, and a special Christmas Eve candlelight communion service happening on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. Be sure to stop by the inner foyer to grab your invite cards to invite those in your life to join us for Christmas at The Rock. Merry Christmas.
Amen. It's going to be great season here at the Rock Church Memorial Outreach Center for Christmas. I want to encourage you guys. You know, I oftentimes see people posting online. I'm not on social media a lot, but when I peek in every, you know, once a month or something like that, I see people going to see lights, drive to Chino and Los Angeles, Pasadena, and down to the Mission Inn, Riverside. And you've got one of the most amazing Christmas displays of lights all around, okay, right out there in the courtyard. And they do, I mean, some of you ladies got to see it last night. They do music to it, and it flashes and all that kind of stuff. I would encourage you guys to post it online and say, hey, you need to come to The Rock and get the word out there. Bring people who are looking for those experiences and things like that and go get that picture, because it didn't happen if it's not on Instagram, right? So get them out there and make sure that it happens, and come to church service that night, and it'll be wonderful. Let's continue to build the kingdom of God any way we can, right? These are just lures, different ways that we're going fishing. We're to be fishers of men. And sometimes you use a fly, sometimes you use a net, sometimes you're an angler, right? All the different ways. But my goodness, we're trying everything to get people into church, and you are a part of that. You are the full-time ministers of the gospel. So bring someone with you, all right? Hey, before we conclude, hey, go ahead. Yeah, give the Lord a praise if you're going to give him a praise. It's all right. All right, good. It's good. I'm happy to be a part of a soul-winning church. Speaking of soul-winning, I want to take this last portion of our time together. I want to make sure that your heart's right with Jesus before we leave. It'd be tragic if we stop right there and we let you go and you died and end up in hell. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. But more than both of us, guess what? God doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross, was so that if you died, you didn't have to die and go to hell, but that you could be with him for eternity. Now, I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one to leave during this time. Focus in, because God wants to speak to you about your eternal life. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been a good person. I've done a lot of good deeds throughout my lifetime. I've been nice to my neighbors, kind to my family members when they've been ugly to me, given money to charities, gotten involved in social justice causes. I think I've been good enough to get to heaven. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven? It doesn't work like that. Just like you can't be bad enough to keep you out, you can't be good enough to get yourself in. Because no flesh will glory in his presence. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I was raised in church. My parents told me you were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or St. Christopher around your neck, had you baptized or christened as a child, went to religious classes like Sunday school or Sabbath school, catechism class. Maybe you've always thought of yourself to be a Christian because you were born in America or some nation that had a segment of that nation that's Christian, quote unquote. Not any of the other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible to say your upbringing, your family association, your location, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in, none of that will get you into heaven. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I get that, but it wasn't just a childish thing for me. Here I'm sitting in church in front of you right now. Here I'm watching online right now. And while it's great, I'm glad you're here. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible says sit in church, call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian? It's like me going to my garage, saying I'm a car, or going to Burger King, call myself a burger, and think that that's going to make me a car or a burger. It doesn't work. Same way, you can't just sit in church or watch one online, call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian. You might be thinking, but Pastor, my last church I got involved, I didn't just sit. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. That's all good, wonderful things to do. None of them will get into heaven. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church like some bank commercial saying what's in your wallet before you can enter the gates of heaven. It's not going to make it. And I love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth. You will die and head for hell if that's the case. That's how you're trying to get in. You might be thinking, but wait, oh, hold on. I get what you're getting at. Don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus. Know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I can quote scriptures to you, Pastor, Old and New Testament. Yeah, so can the devil. You'll find that in the Gospels. Devil quoting scripture. The demons believe, and they tremble. Everybody look up here at me for a second, even though I look at your screen. This is not about what you have up here in your head, having mental assent towards God. It's not about knowing about God. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance or involvement, but it's about your heart. Jesus said it like this in John, the 3rd chapter, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way. Not all roads lead to heaven, contrary to what popular culture would have us to believe. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And Jesus is God, and he said it. He said, you must be born again. Now, I know our society's rate that the coals made it out to be a mockery, something that it's not. But listen, let's let the Bible define for us what being born again is. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. You ready for it? Because here it comes. You don't want to miss this. Simply means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart, and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with God, all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to us here in this church today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Pretty gross, pretty graphic words in the mouth of Jesus. But what's he saying? He's saying half-hearted lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You cannot be lethargic, absent-minded, not present in your relationship with God. God is no fool. He sees right through your religion. He sees right through the rituals that you're doing, trying to earn your way into heaven. God's not looking for any of that. He's looking for a wholehearted relationship with you. When you surrender everything to God and you say, God, it's all yours, God gives you all of his. You become brand new. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart, but it can't be half-hearted. Can't be lukewarm. Otherwise, you'll be expelled from the presence of God. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three, just like that. And when I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang. When you hear the sound of my hand, pop on that microphone. Bang. That's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making a statement. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart and life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. If you're here live, I'll count it. You can put it right back down. Online, you can just throw it up for a moment and put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out, Pastor. If you point and count, if I raise my hand, people are going to see. I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? No one make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. And yet the devil thinks you're a fool. He's trying to talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. And even if you are embarrassed, it's better than ending up in hell. Listen, there's no exits in hell. Not coming back as a dog or a frog, working your way up into a human, raise your underwear on a flagpole and expect to make it out. It's not going to happen. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and they did the judgment. You're not coming back as a dog or a frog, working your way up into a human, getting another shot at this. You've got one life to live this life. And even if you are embarrassed, it's better than ending up in hell. Jesus made this statement. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. And you made a choice. That is a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice today. And surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ in this safe and friendly church service. No one's criticizing, judging, condemning, laughing at you. That's not our hearts. We've all done this. My goodness, you're in good company. We're all ex-somethings in this place. And so today, you can come without shame. Come to Jesus with his arms wide open, welcoming you and receiving you as his child. He loves you. He's not ashamed of you, so don't be ashamed of him. You can raise your hand in the safe and friendly church service or even online. God sees and God's watching. Who should raise your hand in a moment if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've been in church all your life. Maybe you prayed a prayer, but you know you didn't follow it up with all of your heart and all of your life. It was just religious words. You're saying, I want to make a real commitment to God this day. You can get your hand up. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you backslid. Maybe you're lukewarm and you know you need to repent and come back to God. Today, you can make a fresh rededication to the Lord. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up both live and online. Here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one. God bless you. There's two up top. Got you right there. Thank you. There's three over here on this side. Yes. Four right there. Yeah. Got you. God bless you guys. Five in the family room. Up there, God bless you. Who else today? Five, six on this side. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate the help, Mark. God bless you, brother. Anybody else need to get right with God? You said, I know I need to do this right now. If your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat and wish I'd shut up, I think God's trying to talk to you. Another one up there. Yes, thank you. Seven, eight right there. Yes, thank you. God bless you. It's wonderful. Best decision right there. Yeah, I got him. Thank you. Appreciate that. Eight wise people. Anybody else? Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure. I know Pastor Jess got everybody else saved last night at Girls Night Out that she couldn't see, but I think that there's more. Is there anybody else? You need to give God all of your heart. How many? There's three up there or two? Two more up there? Okay, that makes 10. Wonderful. God bless you guys. So glad. Anybody else real quick? Last call. We're going to wrap this up in a moment. We're going to pray together. Anybody else? Hey, wonderful. Thanks for the wave. Appreciate that. 11. And up here, there's 12 in the fam room. Yes, thank you for the wave. I appreciate that. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's give the Lord a hand for about 11 wise people. Amen. Can we all stand together in the presence of God? I'm going to ask no one to leave during this time. Please, let's respect the move of the Holy Spirit as he draws people to himself. You don't get saved by raising your hand. You get saved by giving God all of your heart and giving God all of your life. That simple surrender, it starts with a simple prayer. I want to lead you in that prayer right here at the altar. So if you raised your hand, if you should have raised your hand, well, you get out of your seat, get in and out, and meet me up front. Parents, bring your children. Children, come with your parents. Friends, relatives, neighbors, if you want to come with them, you're welcome. Come, bring them right now. Bring them right now. Church, nudge your neighbors. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Come on. You just come right now. If you raise your hand or you should have raised your hand. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Come on, church, let's encourage them. They're coming right now. Come on down.
Jesus Christ, oh, come to.
Come on, from the family rooms, you can bring your children. They're welcome at this time. Come on, get your stuff. Get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Come on down. They're still coming. They're still coming.
The precious blood of, oh, what a Savior.
Come on, they're coming. Let's welcome them. You can come too. If you need to come, just get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Come on, if you feel the Spirit's tugging at your heart, come on. Take the first step. The rest will be easy. Come on down.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. Anybody else, if you need to come, just come right now. Come on down. Come on down. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on, there's room for you here at the altar. Come on. Come on.
Sing hallelujah. Christ is.
Amen. Well, thank God you guys have come. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. I know that's a weighty statement, but it's so true. Because your eternity's changing. You know, this life is temporary. It's a moment. It's like a vapor, flash in the pan, and then it's gone. But eternity is forever, and you're changing your trajectory. You were headed for hell, but now you're going to be headed for heaven. I'm going to lead you in a short, simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. I'll give you short phrases to say. I want you to repeat them out loud if you have the ability, okay? As you do, God's going to do a miracle. We talked about miracles today in the impossible. God's going to come and make you brand new on the inside. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart, okay? It's the first step in a long journey, the rest of your life like we talked about. It's all of your heart and all of your life. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. And so today, as you're making this commitment, realize it's a lifelong commitment. That if you mess up or you sin, do the wrong thing, you get up, you dust off, and you keep following God. Keep coming to church. In fact, I want to encourage you, give us this next year here at The Rock. If you got a home church, go back to your home church and plug in there. But if you don't have a good home church, this is a good home church. Plug in here for this next year. And next December 8th, you'll look at your life and you'll say, wow, look at what God has done. With those thoughts in mind, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Everybody's going to join in together with you. You'll hear them praying out loud together with you just to encourage you, all right? Online, if you raised your hand or if you should have, you can pray this prayer with us as well. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes once again, and say these words out loud together. Say, Father God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. I give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven. Denying hell. I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now listen, I want to encourage you for a moment because when I got saved, I was 15 years old. Got saved, and even though I'd been raised in church, I didn't know too much about God. Didn't know too much about prayer or the Bible or anything like that. And so I needed some encouragement. I needed a friend. And so I had some wonderful friends that helped me along the way. And so we want to give you that same opportunity. This is my friend, Pastor Joel. I was talking about him in the message. Aren't you glad that Pastor Joel is alive to help you guys out today? He's a good man, all right? He wants to just take you right over there, give you some free stuff, talk to you for a couple minutes about what to do next in your walk with God, introduce you to some wonderful people that we have here. We call them spiritual personal trainers. It's a friend, okay? Someone to encourage you, pray with you, teach you some things out of the Bible. They'll meet with you before church. He'll describe how it works. It's easy, it's free, and you need to do it, all right? And after a couple minutes of your time, he'll let you go. Your friends and family will wait for you. Just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Amen. Well, hey, church family, for those of you joining us online, if you prayed that prayer with us, I want to encourage you to stay with us right after we dismiss. There'll be some instructions for you as well. And if you are in the area, come and join us in person. That way you can get a hold of those same materials and those same friends here live in the house. But know that we love you and we're believing God for your life as well. Tonight, church family, 6 p.m., Different music, different message, but another opportunity to come and see God move in our lives and in the lives of others. You know, Sunday night, we come into this center section, and it's not a very large service, but at the same time, it's a mighty bunch. And I'll tell you, we have more salvations pound for pound on a Sunday night than any other church service. It's a baby factory. And so I want to encourage you guys to come back, bring someone with you tonight, and be a part of the miracle that God is doing in people's lives here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Amen? I said amen? Amen. There you go. I thought you left already. Okay. Let me bless you. Second blessing. Here it comes. Double portion. Here we go. Let me bless you. Even online, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I bless your saints from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What?
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.